This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to another amazing installment of 360 Biz. I'm not flying alone this afternoon. I'm with my girl, Tejo, who looks and epitomizes what the day is all about. She looks radiatingly beautiful and she's dressed in red. She's got red. She looks amazing. Tejo, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
How are you doing on this day of love?
I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm in love with my balance sheet. I'm in love with my car. I'm in love. All the things I'm in love with at the moment are going my way, except for one of my cards that declined yesterday due to insufficient funds.
Yeah.
I'm not in love with that card, but I'm in love with every other thing. But I'm excited. I like holidays, or rather days like these, because they speak of love. They accentuate love to everyone out there, and I hope everyone just jumps into the spirit of love, whether you're with a partner or whether you're single. Just smile with everyone. You know,
just give love to
how
everyone.
How do you feel? What happened when you were young and Zawara Kela the cup with that rose
air? You know, little teddy bear, and then like that spirit is just slowly dying down, you know. But then there are people, you're getting roses, you get chocolates, you know. But I also think like men also need to get some stuff. I see a lot of women getting presents and men not getting anything. You know
what the funny thing is? I read a post the other day, and this lady was just talking about the majority of the men she's ever spoken to have always spoken about how they've given, but there is no the amount of women giving are much less than the amount of men giving.
Yeah.
And I think how do we encourage the ladies to give more?
I think it should just happen. Ladies don't even need to be encouraged. It should just happen. Like if you've got a partner, treat your partner to. I mean, a friend of mine received flowers. A guy friend of mine received flowers and chocolates and all of that. You know. So I think it's just it has to go to both ways.
Sure. I think my three steps to ladies giving more. Stop gazating. Because ladies gazata every time they go out to eat lunch. Gazating is a technical Greek word for stop gazating, basically. The second thing, yeah, that's it. There's only one. There's three in one. But, I mean, we've got a beautiful
show. And stop expecting.
Yeah.
As a woman. Stop expecting and start giving.
But the guy must do. Yeah, but she doesn't clean. I'm sorry. That's a conversation for another. You didn't hear that. Nah, man, we've got a beautiful show lined up today. We're talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. But I think before we jump into that, we've got a gentleman in the studio with us and someone we thought necessary to peek into the show this afternoon on this beautiful Wednesday. I mean, this Wednesday of love, who's a gentleman who will serenade us with his love entrepreneurial story, if you will call it that. We've got Tsulu in the studio with us. Tsulu, how are you doing, man?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you for coming through and sharing this day with us when you could have been in Mauritius somewhere. So, Tsulu, man, just greet our listeners. Tell us who you are and what you do, sir.
Sure. My name is Tsulu Mokobe. I'm the founder and the managing director to a media company established 5 years ago. We're situated in Sandton, Johannesburg. We've also got an office in Cape Town. We conceptualize and execute transformation-related platforms by using exhibitions, digital publications, as well as outdoor advertising. I think the reason for our gathering here is to inspire other entrepreneurs on how they can go about targeting the private sector in their businesses. Because you'll see most of SMMEs rather define a business by registering a business and sourcing tenders, and that can be very problematic for any business. So we're going to be hosting seminars in April to help other entrepreneurs on how to extend their revenue in the private sector business to business approach of business.
Do you find that there's a lot of black entrepreneurs that are creating businesses that are dealing with high level business to business platforms?
From our experience, that's a very good question, in fact. From our experience, there's a lot of lack in terms of the approach, precision, and how things are done. And I think most businesses don't get it correctly because of exposure and other elements that lead to it. Hence, the seminar that we're going to be hosting in April deals exactly in preparing an SMME that has got no experience, has just come into a space and really wants to make it big and trade with listed JSE companies, because it takes a lot. Mm. It takes a lot of exposure, it takes a lot of understanding, and they are passion is not going to be enough, basically. And we're saying for a business to be sustainable, both your private sector income as well as your public sector needs to be in check, so to ensure that we are more sustainable as SMMEs.
So, but where did the journey start for you, this entrepreneurship journey?
I was born in a township called Guguletu in Cape Town.
Oh, okay.
I always used to see people going to Joburg and coming back being greater than before they left home. So I was like, okay, I also need to take a journey to Joburg. Mm. I want to start a business. They do things differently. They talk differently. And I left. I came here, got some work with another media company for a space of 18 months, gained a lot of exposure and experience. And one day I woke up and I said, I can do this, you know, and that's how I landed where I am now.
Mm.
Yeah,
and then I mean, in terms of the landscape in Eastern Cape, I mean, Western Cape. I'm sorry. I'm from the Eastern Cape, so anything Western is Eastern to me. So, did you grow up in an environment or in a home that was entrepreneurial? Did they encourage entrepreneurship?
Yes, my granny, in fact, was an entrepreneur. She used to sell beers and cigarettes to the community.
Nice.
You know, so I used to see how money was made on a daily basis. It was small volumes, but the principle was perfect, you know. And I think that kind of exposed me how to handle money and how to reinvest and grow stock and all of that. So that for me was an advantage. And I think you're really born with it, you know.
Yeah.
You can't be taught how to be an entrepreneur. As much as people claim they can, maybe they can, but the great ones are born with it, you know. Mm. So, yeah. Hmm.
Did you ever get yourself in a position where you were diluting bottles of Smirnoff or Viceroy?
It's standard where I come from, you know. If not, they call you a faggot. You know, I grew up in a very rough township. Mm. I had to conform as a young man. Peer pressure was there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to portray an image that I am now. I wasn't who I am now. You know, I indulged in many things growing up. It's just how we've got the highest murder rate in the world. You can imagine, Guguletu. Mm. We consume a lot of drugs in our community. That's the norm of the day. You have to, as a male boy, try to show them that you are relevant, and I have to finish my studies. So I've got these double lives that I had to keep up with.
Mm.
But fortunately, I didn't do drugs and all of that, but we drank as boys, you know, we went out and all of that, but it wasn't extreme, fortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, man, that's amazing. And I mean, with regards to, I wanna throw kind of a curveball. What are your expectations as an entrepreneur, especially with the sauna that is going to happen, whether it's in a month or two or whatever, from an entrepreneurship perspective? What are your expectations around there?
I was telling my team this Monday when it was last week, Monday or this Monday, when the sauna was postponed. I said the way we approach business, we are not consumed by political hazards that are happening in the country. 93% of our company's revenue comes from JSE listed companies. Okay, we've mastered the skill. Hence, as a director of AtoneWorks, I took an initiative upon myself to hold seminars called The Art of Business Growth, where I can share my skills and approach to business with my fellow SMMEs who are purely relying on tenders. And I don't have a problem with tenders. If I get one today, I will accept it. But I believe the approach in business shouldn't be purely founded on gathering tenders and applying and submitting. You will not last in the game.
Mm.
If the current government goes out of power or whatever the factor is, or our BE codes get ruled out, or transformation is no longer an agenda, we as black entrepreneurs will be playing in a space where it's unfair or fair, depending who's engaging the platform.
Mm.
But what I'm saying, you must be able to move your product or service from business to business, because that's a way of sustaining your business further.
Yeah, and I think just maybe educate us a little bit. A little bit earlier on, you spoke about transformational platforms that you guys create. What are some of these transformational platforms that you guys create?
Sure. So, what
is that all about? Sorry to cut you off.
No worries. So, we're a media company. We use media disciplines to disseminate opportunities using exhibitions and conferences, using digital publications. We've also got mural spaces in townships within Eastern Cape, KZN, as well as the Western Cape, to say, here are the sectors that are contributing to our GDP the highest: your agriculture, your mining, your construction. We've got no form of ownership in these sectors, and we're saying, as a media company, instead of fueling and distributing negative vibes and information, here's an opportunity for us to disseminate and work with our stakeholders and get to the people in the rural communities, in the townships, and say, for instance, we've got a bursary expo that we host around the country.
Yeah.
Soweto, Soshanguve, Mlazi, Durban, Kukulietu, Cape Town, where we've brought private sector companies who want to distribute bursaries, but you can't really only rely on online, because most of these learners don't know how to navigate on an internet. I mean, it's a skill to research, you know, and even if you research a company, the other companies, you're going to miss out on an opportunity. So we're bringing the bursaries to the communities. So that's how we work. We've got an agricultural project. We host 25,000 black farmers at East London Showgrounds annually. We are exposing them to exporting their produce. We're exposing them to agro-processing, which is another channel of creating further markets for themselves. You know, there's only so much these retails can take in terms from the farmers. So we need to create our own markets, and that's what we're about. We're bringing real-time solutions, real-time opportunities to our people using media as a tool.
Are you seeing a rise with regards to young black individuals getting into the not the mining necessarily, but the farming space?
See, the farming space and the mindset of the youth of the Republic is that no one wants to be seen wearing an overall and walking in the sun for 12 hours a day. It's not cool, if that's the word I can use. Hence, we have identified that agro-processing is more appealing to the youth, where they convert these primary commodities into a form of a product. And we really can't really enforce anything on someone, but you have to make it relevant and put it towards them. So we found that agro-processing is appealing to the youth. They take the primary commodity, they convert apple into an apple juice, and that's what they like doing. So we want to keep it there, we want to grow them, and we want to show them that your business can grow if you can be hands-on on the primary commodity itself. Mm. So it takes time. You can't really force anything on someone.
Mm.
I think, like, if you can just tell us more about the conference that are happening.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Just more details on that for our listeners. Mm.
Sure. We are at the Radisson Blue Gau train on the 26th of April.
Nice.
Registration is on our website, tolo-theart.co.za. The fees are there. We're literally going to be there breaking down how to approach a JSE-listed company and say to them, here am I, young entrepreneur, I'm relevant, I can do business with you. They're intimidating to anyone who hasn't done business with them, because the way they approach business, the precision, everything is, and if you haven't done it, this is the type of training that you need. You know, we sit you down, we take you through it. This is what you need to do. When you get to this point, you're ready.
Tsolo Mokobe, before I let you go, what inspires you, man? What drives you?
My work is founded in, we're a company, we're a P2Y LTD. We make profits.
Yes.
We're not shy to disclose. But what drives me is that other people benefit from the work that I do. I see my community being uplifted in the work that I do, and that's my upbringing, and I found purpose in that. You know, you can actually have a purpose filled life if you can hustle and others benefit from your hustle, and you get paid yourself.
Does the hustle ever stop?
It can't, because the purpose will never stop. It's a fire, it burns brighter and brighter and brighter every day.
What's Tulu in the next 10 years?
So in the next 10 years, we'll be establishing another office in New York. We're going international. We're going all the way. We're taking it to them. We don't want to be like them. We want to show them who we are. So many opportunities around the world, you know, and it's amazing what's happening in South Africa. I love New York. I love their energy and vibe. It's addictive, you know. That's what made me come to Joburg. I used to see Joburg people coming to Cape Town. I'm like, I want to follow them. You guys walked differently. You did things differently. I'll be sitting there at the mall and be like, I want to go with them. And look where I am. I went with them, and I don't have no regrets. The energy is amazing in Joburg. People do things for you know, we do things and we make things happen.
30 seconds of inspiration and then your contact details.
I think what is going to be really important as an entrepreneur, before you even start, already if you already started, go to the drawing board, find purpose. Why are you doing this? Because when your strength runs weary individually, because mine does, I look at the people that are banking on me, you know, my daughter, my mom, you know, the people that have invested in the project, my clients, and then I have to dust myself and keep going, because it's no longer about me now. People are looking to me to finish what I've started. So I think your reasons need to be less self and involve a community approach to it, and then you'll have longevity in the run. And our numbers are 011-056-6856. However, if you visit our website, tolo-theart.co.za, there you'll be able to register for the next coming seminar. We'll take you through step by step. We'll be great. We'll all be great. We want to create more jobs. It's 8 million unemployed South Africans. SMMEs have got a responsibility. We employ more people than the bigger corporations. And if we can get our ducks in a row and make more profit, we can then grow our operations and involve more people.
Wow, this was a beautiful, inspired set. Yeah. There you have it, Tolo. Follow him. What's your social media quickly before I play a song?
Tolo_Mokobe.
Wow, man, I'm so inspired. I almost said, give this man a round of applause. I'm used to church.
Give this man a bell.
Cappuccino.
Thank you so much. We're going to fade it out with a song, Vusanova. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon on 360 Biz. We are celebrating love.
Biz on cliffcentral.com.
I already knew that. Hi guys, it's a beautiful afternoon. The topic of the day today is Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. You know what the funny thing is? I was talking to Howard on my way here, and I'm like, to Howard, please read, what's today's topic? Just please confirm. So he says it's Bitcoin, and then there's cryptocurrency. So it's cryptocurrency, and The name, the complexity around the name is as complex as it is for some of us, because we've heard this whole cryptocurrency stuff there and there. But today we've got a gentleman who's in studio who's also going to be telling us. He's going to be telling us about what he has created out of this. Bitcoin is a new currency that was created in 2009 by an unknown person using the alias Satoshi Nakamoto. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Translations are made with no middlemen, meaning no banks. Bitcoin can be used to book hotels on Expedia, shop for furniture on Overstock, and buy Xbox games. But much of the hype is about getting rich by trading it. The price of a Bitcoin skyrocketed into the thousands in 2017. Bitcoin can be used to buy merchandise anonymously. In addition, international payments are easy and cheap because Bitcoins are not tied to any country or subject to regulations. Small businesses may like them because there are no credit card fees. Some people just buy Bitcoins as an investment, hoping that they will go up in value. I think that feeds us enough information. The gentleman that we have in studio today is a very cool, calm and collected gentleman. He's competing with me with unprofessional looks, but I think I'm the worst today because I'm wearing shorts. But this gentleman goes by the name of Shakes Motsilili, the co-founder of Africa New Energies with Stephen Larkin Ingamla.
Is a British boy.
Is it Larkin?
He's Stephen Charles Gordon Larkin.
Stephen Charles Larkin, whatever.
Gordon.
It's the sunshine slung. English is now hitting me. Yeah? His former university flatmate Sheikh Motsoaledi is an investment expert, hails originally from the financial services industry, where he was promoted to head of the Momentum Wealth Actuarial Support Department at the age of 35. That's amazing. And I also know that this gentleman hails from the Eastern Cape. So, greet our listeners, sir. Tell us who you are and maybe just shed a little bit of light on what you do.
Well, I am from the Eastern Cape. Have attended almost all tertiary institutions in the country during my growth phase. I worked in the corporate sector for more than 10 years, as indicated, and then decided to go at it at my own about 6 odd years ago. Right, I would say I'm what is described as a serial entrepreneur, and I'm involved in several businesses. Today I'm here to talk mainly about Aziza coin, because you mentioned cryptocurrencies, which is a coin that we've launched with quite a few salient differences to the Bitcoin that you've mentioned. I also want to talk a little bit about a company called Alumni Energy Investments, which is a venture capital company that I'm director of, one of the directors anyway. And which is sort of linked to Aziza coin, and I'll explain the structure as well. And hopefully give a bit of insight as to why we launched the coin and, you know, what we hope to achieve.
I'm so curious on how old Sheikh is. Like, yes. he looks so young.
That's why 35.
I don't mind sharing. I'm actually 41 this year.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. No, I get that a lot, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Good genes,
Very good genes.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to wonder how that conversation went, where that fireside conversation went when you got back home and you were telling them that, you know what, I'm leaving this actuarial stuff.
Yeah.
I'm now going into cryptocurrency. I can almost imagine the shock on their faces. What is cryptocurrency?
Okay, it was difficult. I mean, one of the things that a lot of South Africans that are formally employed rely on is a monthly salary, and are terrified at the idea of not having something where the bank pulls their debit orders every month and, you know, they're left with something to live. So it was very terrifying. That's number one. Number two, the cryptocurrency was only launched in October last year. So it's a little bit later in my career, in my life. What I can talk about, which I actually am co-founder of, is Africa New Energies, which is a hydrocarbon exploration business. We are looking for gas and oil onshore in Namibia. We've got a concession, a 22,000 square kilometer concession. That's bigger than the size of Gauteng, where we've got a license, and we've been working there for the past 4 or 5 years looking for gas and oil. We've had very good promising results. Probably the most notable event there is that last year, January, we received an offer, an unsolicited bid for $500 million for our asset, for several reasons. That transaction didn't materialize. But I mean, it's a huge event on its own, the fact that we were given that offer. And I'll share a little bit as to why it never went through. Number one, we have close ties with the community in Namibia where we work in, the Heroro community. And we, you know, I was quite close with the late Paramount Chief. And we've made certain promises. The area we're on sits on the second largest aquifer, underground water source resource on the planet. And we immediately said, look, this is a generous offer, very generous. I mean, we're pre-drilling, so we haven't actually proven the presence of the resource to be offered so much. But we said, look, guys, we want an anti-fracking clause. That's number one. Because fracking would contaminate the water source, so we could not accept the transaction to go through otherwise. The second thing is that we were dealing with a Chinese entity, and we said, look, the area we're in has a high unemployment rate. I think about between 70% and 80%, somewhere there, people are unemployed. And we said we wanted an agreement that all unskilled work would the first people to be considered would be the local communities. Mm. So they couldn't agree to these, you know, obviously, you know, the unfortunate you know, thing with Chinese sort of transactions that they usually bring in a prison labor from China for projects of this nature. Mm. But for I would say integrity reasons, we actually refused the offer. Mm.
Yeah.
And I mean, we could have been extremely wealthy, to be honest with
yeah,
you.
Definitely.
Yeah, mm. But it's going to take a bit longer. But I think it is a lesson for entrepreneurs that you must not sell your soul.
Mm.
I think that's the lesson there. And there are transactions that are very lucrative where we need to actually take the moral high ground. Anyway, so come to the cryptocurrency.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
right? The people talk about blockchain, and today I'm not here to talk about it, but I'll say just a few lines to say
that. I think
that
if we could demystify a couple
exactly.
of things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, the blockchain technology, as simply as I could put it, is that it's a ledger, right? It's like a ledger of information. So it's like a set of transactions that is decentralized. So it's put out there. Everybody has got access to the information on this ledger, but it's a ledger that cannot be changed. So this ledger is built on. So every time there's a set of transactions, it's added onto the ledger and information grows and you cannot change that information. And this is the basis of the cryptocurrencies that are around. They use blockchain technology for their robustness and information keeping and tracking of transactions and all of that. But very important to mention, blockchain has many use cases. You can use it for many other things other than cryptocurrency.
Mm.
You can use it, for instance, I know, I think in Indonesia they had challenges of fraudulent estate deeds, where you would buy property and then the information would be changed and the property that you've been paying for is actually belongs to someone else.
Mm.
But using blockchain technology, you would not be able to change that information. You know, that's the blockchain.
Mm.
And that's what blockchain is. It is basically an unchangeable ledger that instead of being centralized, it's decentralized. It's put out there. It is a trustless system. Instead of like in the traditional forum, I'll talk about the finance sector, where we have to trust any financial intermediary. We have to trust a financial institution. We trust a bank with our information, with our money, you know, that they keeping you know, our wealth, as it were, safe. Now the revolution of a blockchain with blockchain in the financial services sector is that it does not have to be centralized. It can be put, you know, in out there. It is trustless, and I suppose it is in its trustless nature that makes it so in my opinion, robust, more than it, you know, banks have proven in the past that sometimes they can be very untrustworthy, you know. So that's enough for me in terms of that. I'm not a blockchain expert. In fact, I was speaking with one of my colleagues who's based in London, called Jeremy Curl, and he said he met a friend of his who's quite a uniquely gifted mathematician, and he said, if there are 500 blockchain experts in the world, that's a lot. The rest either say they are and they're lying, or say they are, they think they are, but they're not.
Hmm.
So it's a very, very niche space, right? Wow. We've got our blockchain expert, a guy called Charles Cunningham, who sits in London. That's our guy, you know. So he's on the back end. But the business, which is the use case, is what I'm going to share a little bit about, which is what Aziza Coin is all about. Now, we've built Aziza Coin, simply put, to be a fundraising mechanism to direct funds to small to medium-sized enterprises, to startups specifically. And there's logic to this madness. There's an international body called the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, which is the largest study on entrepreneurship on the planet, right? And they give some interesting results and statistics around job creation. I'll bring it back to the South African situation. I think the last statistics given by the Statistician General were that about 36% of South Africans were unemployed. That's about a little over a million South Africans between the ages of 16 and 65 without work. That's a crisis. Now, I always say, if you, a lot of people think that big business is the solution. They're not. Big business is in the business of mergers and acquisitions. It's in the business of automation. It's in the business of efficiencies. If anything, they're losing jobs. If you look at government, government won't make jobs. All government departments are probably overstaffed. If anything, there needs to be a bit of attrition there. In fact, it is evidence and it's a fact that most jobs are created by small to medium-sized enterprises, you know. And we specifically talk about what you get with entrepreneurship. You define what is called necessity entrepreneurs, which is like buy and sell type of thing. And then you get what is called high expectation entrepreneurs. Now, high expectation entrepreneurs are defined as entrepreneurs that in the next 5 years will be employing 20 or more people. And it's amazing how this group of entrepreneurs are responsible for the bulk of jobs created. There's also a further subset, which is like the top 2% of all entrepreneurs. And just to give the last bit of stats on that, in South Africa in 2016, this top 2% were responsible for creation of 29% of all new jobs. The top 2%. But not even one of these companies received funding. And the reasons make sense. Pre-revenue startups, the failure rate is like 9 out of 10 in the first 2 years. Now, it's very difficult to convince private sector funds to go into ventures of that nature. They fail 9 times out of 10, you know. So, and now we've come up with a way where we can maybe channel funds to support these type of companies. And in a way, we want to deal with the problem for unemployment, which in turn deals with other social injustices that exist in our country. And I hopefully, you know, this will go to the rest of the country. I mean, rest of the continent, the rest of Africa. And how we do this is that Aziza Coin is currently not listed. It's called what is called an ICO, an initial coin offering. Similar to an IPO, initial public offering, where a company lists on an exchange. With coins, with digital coins, it's called an initial coin offering. Then they list. So like a Bitcoin is listed and then you can buy and sell. It has a price that fluctuates. You can buy in, you can speculate, buy in low, sell high. And the opposite can happen. You can buy and it goes down and you make a loss. But that's post ICO when it's listed. We are currently pre ICO, right? And this phase, we can actually control and dictate how the coin is traded, who can buy the coin and who can sell the coin, you know, in this phase. And then obviously once we list it, you know, it's free for all. It's like any other listed entity, buy and sell. And it's during this phase where we've created a structure where the founders of Aziza Coin have said, look, we invite people that want in the South African environment. We've got Alumni Energy Investments that I mentioned, which is a venture capital company. It is a registered financial services provider with the Financial Services Board, right, number one. But it also has a second layer of accreditation with the South African Revenue Services under Section 12J of the Income Tax Act that gives it what is something called the Venture Capital Company Accreditation, right? Why that is important is that if you contribute as a South African taxpayer, say 100 rand, into a venture capital company, that full 100 rand is deductible against your taxable income when you make your submissions of tax. What it means is that the South African government is basically, through this forward-thinking piece of legislation, is trying to support private individuals and private companies in South Africa to support small to medium-sized enterprises by giving them this tax, generous tax dispensation, right? In practical terms, what it means is if you were on a 40% marginal tax rate and you put in 100 rand in a venture capital company and you submit your returns, if you had a liability, your liability will be reduced by 40 rand effectively. And if you were supposed to receive a refund, you receive 40 rand. But in essence, the South African government covers 40 rand of your 100 rand investment. So you are only risking 60. That's the simplest way I could explain how Section 12J reduces the risk exposure for a potential and for an investor. Makes in sense. A venture capital Makes company. Sense. Sure. Now, what the Aziza Coin does, the element, the structure, is to say, for something that crashes 9 out of 10 times, even this very generous dispensation where you only receive 60 rand out of 100, it's still a lot, you know. So Aziza Coin comes in and says, all right, there's a current cryptocurrency boom at the moment, you know. The last figure I have, in 2017, around November, of all coins, all ICOs, the average return was 1,300%. And that includes all coins that failed that year, like 2017. So there is a huge boom happening at the moment. And what Aziza Coin is doing is taking advantage of that boom, using that boom to further reduce the exposure. You know, the 40 rand is taken care of by the South African government. Then the Aziza Coin is purposefully using cryptocurrency fundraising to reduce further, so that as a South African individual, if you put in 100 rand, the risk is reduced as far as possible, so that you're left at the end of the day with shares of 100 rand, right? One of the rules of a venture capital company, it's SARS rules, is that you have to sit on the shares for at least 5 years, so it's reasonably liquid, you know. So you have to invest and forget about it, you know. It's into extremely high risk entities. They may all fail, right? But you sit on that. If they work out, these type of enterprises, because we focus mainly on high risk, albeit high potential, pre-revenue, you know, concept stage startups, tech innovative startups. Even if one succeeds, they usually make hundreds to thousands of returns, and it more than compensates for the others that may fail. One of the other rules of Section 12J is that you have to invest in no less than 5 companies. So there is a form of diversification there. So you don't put all your money in one pot, which is also lovely. So you've got 5 crack at it, as it were. So you support as a venture capital company 5 different minimum. There's no maximum. You can support more than that, but you support less than five. Now, one other thing that the Aziza Coin does is that if you participate in this closed phase, you retain a few coins pre-ICO. And this is what it falls under what we call nudge theory, where we're encouraging people to support us, because we still are going to list. The coins will sit in your wallet. They're non-tradable at the moment. However, once we ICO, and if the ICO is a success, you can sell the coins immediately. And this could be as soon as May this year. This is when we're working towards an ICO in May, but it could be a few months afterwards. You mentioned something interesting earlier in your introduction, where you said the Bitcoin operates in an unregulated space. This is changing very quickly. Regulation is coming quick and fast. And we are, I think, are fortunate to be cryptocurrency coming in at a later stage, because we've got a bit of the benefit of hindsight and to understand what is happening. A lot of jurisdictions are looking into wanting to know whom of their citizens own cryptos. You know, they want to have line of sight. There's a lot of talk around regulation of, you know, cryptos themselves. So it's becoming very uncertain. And I want to say that even the current drop in the price of the most popular cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, is around the talk on regulation and some of the tightening that is happening, you know. So we, for instance, have already reacted to some of these things, and maybe something that I'm not going to go deep into. For instance, a lot of coins, they regard themselves as utilities rather than securities, because it's easier. Because if you're security, you have a lot more, you know, regulatory requirements to fulfill. Mm. We've already made the decision that we're going to be a security. You know, so Aziza Coin is going to be a security. One other difference, which is also quite important to mention with Aziza Coin, is that we also intend to actually share trading information with our coin holders' jurisdictions. If you're a South African taxpayer, and you make money out of an Aziza Coin, we're going to share that information with SARS, and you have to pay tax on the money that you've made. It's the right thing to do. We believe that's the future. That's where cryptocurrencies are going. You can't live, you know, if you know, taxes, you have to pay tax. If you make money, pay tax on the money, and you can't run away from that. So we're a bit forward looking on that. The third thing that I think sets us apart is that we've built Aziza Coin to be a truly asset-backed cryptocurrency. similar to a unit trust, I would say, because we think that that is the future of cryptocurrencies or currency or, you know, or store of value, you know, anything like that. Because if you think about it, if you own a paper, a fiat currency, you're holding a paper note and it's written 100 on it, what do you really own? You know, there's the biggest issue where the Americans were printing dollars at will. You know, when you hold a dollar, what do you really own? Now, this whole problem has almost not been solved by the birth of cryptos at the moment, in my opinion, because when you own a crypto at the moment, what do you really own? You know, the current cryptocurrencies. Now, where we're going, and this is where we see the future, is that you need to have a crypto that has underlying assets that the crypto actually owns. So you are sort of a beneficial owner of a portfolio of assets, you know. And I'll tell you how Aziza has done it. As we speak, the founders happen to also be majority shareholders in the project in Namibia, the one that I'd mentioned, that got that generous offer earlier on. They've already transferred 20% of shareholding into the Aziza Coin Foundation. So if you own an Aziza Coin now, you're a beneficial owner of 20% of a very exciting project in Namibia, in which if it strikes oil, you have a direct line to that, you know, a beneficial ownership. It also is structured to own 20% of each and every small to medium-sized enterprises that it supports. So you'll find that as an Aziza Coin holder, you'll own bits and pieces of a lot of exciting startups and, you know, and whatever, including that project in Namibia. So you owning something, you know, it's tangible.
I think I want to tap on that, because for people are still getting information about cryptocurrency, and I mean, we are still educating ourselves about cryptocurrency, and is money becoming digital now? So what I want to know is that if an ordinary entrepreneur out there, how can they get hold of a Bitcoin, or, you know, become part of or get hold of a Aziza Coin, you know, so that do you have to be a person of a certain caliber? Do you have to have certain amount of money? How do you get hold of it? And is it accessible?
Okay. I think Bitcoin is all over. I think there's many Bitcoin ways to actually invest in Bitcoin. So I think that I won't even go into. I'll talk maybe about Aziza Coin. In this closed phase, we obviously restrict whom we want as an investor. I'll talk to the minimums. The minimum investment is 10,000 rand for our opportunity. We don't take recurrings. It's like only lump sums. So 10,000, or, you know, unfortunately, that is the lowest we could go for the administration that is required to actually run our structure, you know. Number two, we, at this point in time, only allow people to participate in Aziza Coin if they have an intention to support the venture capital company that I mentioned. So at this closed phase, the intention is to raise money to go into supporting Alumni Energy Investments, which in turn supports our specific investment philosophy. It's not a SARS thing. Our philosophy is we're focusing on pre-revenue startups. So at the moment, you would go into the Aziza Coin. If you make money from Aziza Coin, goes into Alumni Energy Investments. Alumni Energy Investments supports these small startups, you know, pre-revenue startups. You've got shareholding, you sit on it. You have to wait for 5 years. This is in the closed phase. Once we list it, only then do people that like to speculate, you know, on prices, buy high, sell high, and buy, you know, buy low, sell high, and all of that, will it be relevant. So at this closed phase, it's only for people that want to support startups, only for people that are a bit long-termist in outlook, that are willing to sit and wait for 5 years watching these companies. There will be, although a little bit of coins that are left in their wallet, which are non-tradable, that I said was sort of the nudge theory to incentivize them to come in, where should the ICO be successful and be listed, they can make money in the reasonably short run, so in 6 months or so. So in a nutshell, that is it. How you could take it forward, I don't know if you want me to give exact details.
No, give us.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Well, very informative.
Look, there's we've got a website, first of all. You can go to www.azizacoin.com, right? There's a lot of resources there, information, our contact details and all of that, and then our landline, we've got offices here in Sandton on West Street. Our landline is 011-881-5518. And you can also email us at info@azizacoin.com. Now, this structure is by no means, I mean I've had a number of interviews, interactions. It's quite a complex structure, and we take that, you know. And we always want to have engagements post maybe an initial interface. And so what usually happens is that someone will email us on info@aziza with their details and say, I'm keen, I want to hear more, I want to know more, and then we will then have that one-to-one interaction and take it around, break it up, you know. Other people want to know, who are the investee companies? Tell me more, you know. So there's many wheels, and really and truly we do appreciate that. And you cannot do it even in 2 hours. And different people have got different requirements. Other people want to drill really deep. Others just want high level to be sold. So you need to really be sensitive to that and be individualistic in approach. So I'm inviting anybody who is keen. And I'll just make one thing that to show further that there's many wheels. Actually, Africa New Energy's vision and mission, which is the initial company that we started, is the electrification of the more than 600 million Africans without electricity. That was the initial goal. Wow. We ended up in oil. We now are in crypto. We've got a fund. We're talking about unemployment and things. But all of these things are linked. There's many sort of moving parts that with enough time, it actually, we are able to bring it together. And you can see the vision and the mission of how we almost want to change the world for Africans, to put it simply.
Yeah.
What an informative. I don't even know what to ask. Like, it is so informative.
I know. It was so informative because I've been researching, doing my research on cryptocurrency, because I feel like the future is digital and money is becoming digitized, you know. So as a keen interest, I've been trying to see, but how can a simple, you know, young Tseho get involved in this? Because then you don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be stuck in the present when the future is there and the future is visible and the future is, the opportunity is there. You know, so I don't know how many opportunities are out there for ordinary individuals, you know, who just want to take out a mere 5,000 or 2,000 and you know what, let me just get into this cryptocurrency. I don't know if you can advise on that.
Yeah, look, what I can tell you is that I agree with you totally. Cryptos are here to stay. In what form? I think the jury is still out. You know, we believe that our analysis is probably closer to the end game, to the end, you know, to where it's going to be. Remember, I talked about asset backing and being a security, you know, the reality is that, as I said, our intention, and this is another thing that maybe I'd not mentioned, in South Africa, it's scary, you know. I did some market research of my competitors in the venture capital company space, you know, these companies, magnificent companies that allow South Africans to deduct their investments or get their taxable income. And the minimum investment ranges from 150,000 to 3 million. That immediately prices out the majority of South Africans. You know, we have been able to reduce it to 10. But that's as low as we can go. Already the 10,000 is less than 10% of the lowest that we could find.
Okay.
So unfortunately, to answer your question, it has to be 10 at this point. We would love to reduce it further because, you know, my experience, you know, I play in a space that is quite niched in hydrocarbon exploration and things like that. And I find that it's almost the rich getting richer, because it's people that have access to funds that are able to participate in these high risk opportunities and make further funds. And in our structure, we're trying to expose it to as many ordinary, and with due respect, I don't mean it in a direct way, South Africans as possible, so that they can also maybe, you know, when these high potential, high risk, you know, enterprises work out, they make some money and it actually changes them. I mean, for an average South African, if they put down, I'm making example, 10,000, and in 5 years' time it's 500,000, that is substantial, you know. And I mean, I've engaged with some of the high net worths in the country. 500,000 is a drop in the water for them. It's nothing, you know. But I can see how for an average black family, that is transformational. And for us, we are really trying to expose it to as many ordinary South Africans as possible, so that it is our wish that we change also this, you know, the distribution of wealth, which is so skewed in our country. It's also one of our missions to actually try and address that gap as well. You know?
Yeah, no, that was... Yo, we need you here for a day.
Yeah.
No, man, that was so informative. I think it would be nice to have you again in future.
No, don't mind.
When you are available. And, I mean, it was amazing because you talk to a lot of guys in the space. They give you a lot of, You don't really get a clear answer. And because you don't get a clear answer, sometimes you don't entertain certain things. But the way in which it was broken down for me and the people here, the people listening, has made it much, I'd like to think it's made it much easier. Please give us your contact details again before we close the show.
Our site is www.azizacoin.com. Aziza means precious in Swahili, as a matter of interest. Yeah? So it's azizacoin.com. Our landline is 011-881-5518. And you can email us on info@azizacoin.com. And if you drop us your contact details, we'll come back to you. We've got a lot of material, reading stuff. We've got some abridged material, like 2 pages, which touch on the salient points. But we also have detailed, you know, documents for those that want to go drill a bit deeper. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the show. Join us again next week for an insightful show, 360 Biz.
Bye-bye.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.